B-Pod Studios.
They were
matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle. We're live in Foxborough today where the team is practicing, getting ready for the visiting Buffalo Bills on Saturday afternoon. A couple calls here, and then we'll get into the Josh Gordon story. But first, Dave in Rhode Island. You've been holding a long time, Dave. I appreciate your patience. What's up?
Hey, this is Dave, Rhode Island. Tom's just thinking about the next game. We're looking for 7 championships here, no longer. Everybody's talking about everybody getting 6, Michael Jordan, everything like that. We're working on 7. We're still playing. Everybody thinks that, he's all done. But, he's still playing. We're still in the playoffs, and I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it, too. And I got to tell you, the recipe that Belichick was talking about there, it'll serve you well in certain matchups. Obviously, protecting the ball, winning the turnover battle, being able to run the ball, playing great defense. Is it going to be enough against Kansas City?
Dave's still there. Hi, Dave.
Oh, that's all right. now he's gone.
How many cigarettes a day do you think Dave chucks through?
Is it going to be enough to beat Kansas City? That recipe, is it enough to beat the Chiefs? Is it enough to beat the Ravens? Belichick talked about.
Yeah, I mean, it was almost enough 2 weeks ago against the Chiefs. You get a couple calls go your way. Hey, you're in that game. You had the ball at the end. Going in to tie that sucker up. Hey, why wasn't enough that night? You got F'd by the refs. Yeah, you're close enough. You had enough to win. That's how you cook it. That's how you cook that dinner, man. Right? You got the ingredients. He gave you the ingredients. Now it's portion control. All right? Give me two-thirds cup, good defense.
Well, now you're back to the recipe. You're talking about serving. Portion control, you're talking about how much you're going to eat.
Portion control, the servings that you put it together, right? Mm. Everything's different,
All right.
Did a chicken piccata last night.
How was it? It
wasn't tasting great halfway through, and I tweaked it and it came out delicious.
What'd you tweak? More capers?
More butter? Too much capers, a little salt.
Oh, yeah, too many
capers. Too much capers. The salt content was pretty bad, but I washed the capers off. And then you put a little chicken stock in. A lot more chicken, then you let it...
A lot of salt in the chicken stock, though, too.
There is not as much, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Paul in Rhode Island. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Really
good. How are
you? Hi, Hardy. Hi,
Joe. Hi.
Tom, you got the music?
Yeah, I lowered. I'm sorry. My fault. I lowered. I'm so happy for the kid that... They're finally exercising an effort for him. Also, I like to say that, these Zebra brothers, they better not even show up in the playoffs because the board had a recall of all the referees. And I'm not even sure if they screwed my second team, the Lions. My homeland team is the Patriots. Let me tell you.
They got
the best playoff record. My homeland team. That's where I live.
What about if you like overseas? Like, who's your favorite?
No, my favorite is the Patriots. Just when I was a kid, I loved the Lions, But, okay.
All right, thanks, Paul. We appreciate the call, as always. 617-779-0985. It's good. Good
who's
call.
Who's the Ziegler brothers that he was talking about?
Let's talk about Josh Gordon. Can we do that, please?
Zebra? Referees.
Oh. I thought it was like that Dirk Ziegler or something.
Dirk Diggler?
Wrestler. Isn't there a wrestler named Ziegler?
Dirk Diggler, Brock Landers, Chest Rockwell.
Brock Landers.
Josh Gordon suspended yesterday indefinitely. He was, of course, with the Patriots earlier this year. He was briefly put on the injured reserve. How did it go, though? It was like this odd...
You're hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
You're hurt. Put you on injured reserve.
You're hurt now. Now you're released.
We can't release you until after that Wednesday, so that you have to clear waivers,
right,
to get picked up. So,
and he did get picked up by the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And now he has been suspended indefinitely for violation of the league's substance abuse and PED policies. So, first things first, was it both? We're talking about both an illegal substance in terms of, you know, the drugs that they test for, and specifically what we believe Josh Gordon is being tested for as part of his reinstatement here, the most recent reinstatement, and PEDs? Are there two things going on there?
Not really sure. I think it's more of his, some of the issues that he's had, which would be, yeah, personal. I think it's personal use.
Right. I was led to believe it was the former and not the latter, but
I think people, I mean, everybody asks, hey, what happened at the end here? And it just ended awkwardly. And I totally agree it ended awkwardly. But there were.
Go ahead, Jim.
For Pete Carroll to have the statement he had about our heart goes out to him, they have to face this again. Unfortunately, like, it's a challenge to him. PEDs aren't a challenge to anybody.
No.
So, no. I mean, that's the way I read it.
No,
that's the way I read it, too. So, you know, and again, I feel like we can, let's just make the blanket statement right now.
They knew it getting into it. We knew it getting into it, getting back into it again. There were some rumors of some patterns maybe starting to formulate again here that ultimately led to them saying, okay, we've had enough here.
Yeah. Was it just, I mean, was it overall scheme of things, small stuff, but things that raise flags anywhere, especially with the Patriots not being on time for things, maybe not being exactly where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there,
right.
Stuff like that?
I would say that's a good starting point.
Okay.
Yeah. That'd get you out of here pretty quick.
What else? Not picking up the phone when you call? I mean, little things that for other players may not raise a flag, but for him it's been. And again, I am only speculating.
You've got nine lives, right? You're on life number nine.
I'm speculating, but
right. We all
for the rumors that we hear and stuff like that, and this, I will take that to mean, hey, Josh, you're back. You're reinstated. We call you. Got to pick up the phone. We got to know where you are. We got to know what you're doing. You got to be here on time for this. You got to do this. And if any of those things start to slip, that is going to indicate to us that you are slipping.
Right. Right.
Right?
Like the way you look at people when you err prior and then you err again, right? You're going to be held even more accountable. That's the way it is from the human element of it. Like, you're their employee. They own you right now. You got to be there. You got a meeting. You better be there. You know? You get practice, you better be held. Guys are held accountable here. They will work with you if you need help. They know that, or they wouldn't have got back into business with them as they did. So,
but for Josh Gordon,
it's sad for him because the guy's, he's such a phenomenal talent. And it just never came together for him.
Right.
Think about the waste. Think about the potential this guy had from his size and his ability, and going back to where he was in Cleveland. When Aqib Talib was here, and he just ran away. I'll never forget calling that game. Like, he ran away from Aqib. Aqib's one of the best cover guys I've seen. And he could never get right after that. The amount of money and ability that he left out there on the table, it's sad. Sad.
It is sad, and again,
you know, you root for him. You root for a guy to get right.
And that's the thing that goes without saying. We all want nobody's what's going, best for him.
Nobody's going, ha-ha, we told you so, or, yeah you heard that. No. No.
And good guy, bad guy, it doesn't matter. But Josh Gordon, it doesn't, you know, the disease. And I'll say this, the one thing that I think people are starting to, you know, maybe come around on, and whether Josh Gordon had anything to do with this or not, I think it does, because he seems like a good guy. And when he spoke and when he went to the podium and we saw him, you know, a handful of times this season when he was with the Patriots, you know, he seemed like the type of guy where it's like, wow, you know, this doesn't seem like your prototypical addict who's, you know, only in it for himself. He did seem like a troubled guy, and I think that started to maybe change a few minds of people who look upon addiction and substance abuse as being like, oh, just stop. Just don't pick up. This isn't a disease. This is just a question of your willpower and you not having any. You know, the conversation about a lot of other things has changed. For the most part, when you talk about depression now, people won't say, oh, just cheer up. What's the matter with you? You know, that's recognized now as a chemical imbalance. And there's something wrong with you. You are ill in ways that other people get ill. The difference is with this one, And when I what I think about Josh Gordon, I think, yeah, he's dealing with you know, a disease of the mind, you know, a physical allergy coupled with a mental obsession, whatever you want to call it. But all the all the resources in the world available to this guy, whether it's with this team or with Seattle or through the league, none of it makes any difference if he isn't done. And you know what, Zoe? He's not done. He's not ready to quit. Once you're ready to quit, then all these things can help you stay quit.
Yeah.
But until you're ready, that's, you know, that's the one thing about this disease that is makes it different from others. There is a decision that you can make that will help in your recovery.
It's sadly for him, but people judge it, people look down upon it, and you're never going to be able to change those people.
No. But for him, I don't think he's hit that bottom or made that decision. He's just not done. And that's unfortunate. Yeah,
he made a hell of a catch this past weekend. Dove and caught the ball, 40 yards downfield?
We all saw
laid
it.
Out. Yeah.
We all saw it.
Wow, why'd they cut him?
Well, now you kind of know why. Yeah. Whether it happened beforehand or it happened after he left, that's essentially where we're at. So let's we'll continue. We'll talk a little bit more about Josh Gordon here and the Patriots as they get ready for the Bills. Here on Zolak and Bertrand, it's Hardy filling in for Beetle here at Gillette Stadium.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where those streets are.
Don't work on location. I don't feel Christmas when we're on location.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right.
I like that he's playing it.
It'll feel like Christmas on Thursday.
What's Thursday?
Be nice and chilly, a warrior. Oh. Like Christmas.
Nobody wants to go there.
You guys can roast some chestnuts on an open fire.
Let's just be honest, okay?
It's
a miserable existence.
Here's what I like about Warrior. I like the first part when the team's on the ice and you get to, and you like that too, Zo.
I do.
You like watching the drills.
No, I do.
Just, because, hey, you're a sport. You like sports.
I respect talent.
You like to sit, the talent. I like watching morning skate, right?
It's like watching get your carpets clean.
I like.
Sit there and watch it.
And I like when a player comes over and joins us and we get to sit down and talk to him. I enjoy that visit. Here's what I don't enjoy. Once the team leaves the ice and those blowers come on at about 12:15, 12:30, and the temperature drops by 20 degrees in there, and then, you know, we sit there on the hostage cam video.
Is that when Beetle puts the hood on?
For the last hour and 40 minutes of the show.
You can't look at Beetle when he does that because it makes yourself look sick. You know what I mean?
You start to feel ill.
You start to feel Beetle sickness.
Right.
No, but yeah, I enjoy watching them when they first come out, doing those drills, like you said.
It's great.
Who was that was coming back? He just kept moving on one skate. It was about a month ago.
No, that was last. I know what you're talking about. It was last year. And I think it may have been Krejci on one of his times back when he was out
it
there.
It was Krejci. It was Krejci last year.
Doing the drills on one skate.
Oh, my God. You want to watch something. Like, wow, Jesus, that's.
Yeah, just to go there and watch him out there, you know, skating with, you know, one of the coaches just working on getting that one leg back, and it's amazing. But I'm with you, buddy.
No,
one
more. Being there, wish it could be warmer. it's a beautiful facility, but it's just turn the heat up a little bit.
Let's go to the calls here. Yanni.
From Greece.
In Yarmouth.
Yanni from Greece.
Hey, this is Yanni. Just a quick question for you guys about what Josh and the offense are doing. You guys think they're making it too complicated for the specific set of receivers they've got right now? Mm. Is there any merit to the idea, you know, keep it simple and try to find success that way? Take my answer off the air.
Okay. Thanks, Yanni. Well, it's not too complicated for Julian Edelman. Edelman's dealing with an injury. I don't think it's too complicated for Sanu. Sanu obviously having a problem with that first step and a little explosiveness. What about with Jacoby Myers? We didn't see a lot of him, to put it mildly.
No, but I mean, that's
the Bengals. But what about N'Keal Harry? Is it too complicated for Harry? I don't think so.
No. I think what you're trying to do now is, okay, he can line up and he can run across. He can do the jet sweep. We can hand him the ball. He looks good doing that.
Mm-hmm.
He looks powerful. He looks explosive. Now he showed you I could go down and climb and go up and get a football down the field. We know he can be a back shoulder guy. We know I don't say he can be a slant guy. He needs to learn how to run a slant against certain coverages. Like Philly was perfect. You go down, you run your slant, catch it in your body, go down right there. When someone's on your back, that's where he's really got to, I don't want to say earn the trust of Brady, but when you get locked up, and you're going to get locked up more and more as these games go on because you're facing better teams, and you get in the playoffs, not everybody's going to play you 10 yards off and allow you just to do what you want to do. When you get jammed at the line, you're able to fight through it, use that body, show the quarterback, I got the hand, stick it here. Mm-hmm. That's where he's got to get back in with Brady. Because if Brady thinks, okay, you get jammed, I expect you to beat him across his face. You know, he didn't do that. And that's where he kind of got docked for that. But it's a credit to him that, from what I heard, he got pretty eviscerated, too, down there on the sideline, that Houston game after that pick. And we didn't see him after that much in that game. The fact that the rookie didn't tuck tail and just say, I'm never going to be here. This is never going to work for me. It shows you a little something. The kid fights through something. That's good. Fights through adversity.
Is Brady hooking up with N'Keal Harry, as we saw with, you know, in the Bengals game, is that an indication that he's getting more comfortable with him, that he's trusting him more, or is this a case of any port in the storm for Brady because he's being forced into it? Could be both. I understand that, but what do you think it is? Though, is there a comfort level that's growing there between the two, or is it just look? I think it's to somebody here.
I think it's more than Tom admits. Like I think Tom plays coy. I think with the media, like he's missed a lot of time in that. Like, but then you hear him like in the Jim Gray thing. Hey, I like N'Keal. I love working with N'Keal. You know what is it? Is it one or the other? It's somewhere in between. I think it's more of. Now, okay, you start to see him make these plays. Snoo's not making them, pal. Okay? Myers isn't making them. Myers dropped a touchdown for you. This kid hasn't dropped a touchdown yet. Seems like every time you throw him the ball in the end zone, he catches it. So that's in the back of a quarterback's head. Even though you want to publicly stroke him and admit that. Oh, yeah, everything's great. Yeah, we're going to go to more this week. He's also trying to play coy, saying, yeah, he's not really part of my read where, hey, I'm going to feed him this week. Brady could be setting you up, too. So you got to be careful with that.
All right. 617-779-0985. We'll continue talking Patriots and these Bills, as Bill Belichick referred to them in the Pulse game against the Bengals. Get ready for these Bills because these Bills are not the typical Bills. Bills have, you know, been on the come, so to speak, you know?
Oh, on the come.
Yeah, well. This is a real game, and we had a caller earlier kind of accuse us or accuse Patriots people in general of looking past the Bills. I don't think anybody's looking past the Bills. This is a huge game on Sunday.
No, they've been trying. They know this is the best defense they played all year. They do, and they reiterated this week. Josh talked about it. Bills talked about it. Already did all access for it. The Belastrader now. Like they got guys that could get after the quarterback. They're sound. They don't blitz. They just sit there and they kick your ass. It's a defense that's based out of the thought of the way they built that thing around Kuechly down in Carolina. Yeah, and they've always played tough games against Carolina, and same thing. It's just a tough matchup for them right now.
Let's go to Jay, who's in Connecticut. Jay, you're on Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle. What's up, Jay?
Hi, how are you?
How are you?
So basically, like, I'm a young kid. All I know is winning with the Patriots, and I thought that the Patriots, you know, it was the O-line, but it's like when Brady drops back in the pocket, I feel like everyone has a little optimism. Whether it's going to be completed, touchdown, whatever it may be, Fitzpatrick, it's like he drops back. It's like, all right, it's probably going to be picked, interception. But it's like, even when Brady has time, I see some of these throws. I'm like, what the hell was that? And I think that Brady's really showing signs of regression, which it's not like, you know, obviously it's going to happen. But I don't know. Brady's scaring me. The whole offense, I think, is terrible. And I thought it was the lineup rules, but I don't know. Brady, some of these throws, it's scaring me. Let me know what you guys think. Appreciate it.
He wasn't great this week, and I think it's also the combination of taking hits, too, and the lack of protection. And then you put it all into one mix, it's not a good that's not a good recipe for offense, of offensive throwing the football. But, I mean, there are parts where you watch him end of Houston, you know, end of Baltimore, where he's moving the team, throwing darts when he has time. Maybe the best thing to do is go no huddle when you want to throw. That could be part of it, where
find some rhythm.
He's going to call the stuff he wants to hit.
Right.
He knows where he wants to be, where he wants to get it out of his hand, who he wants to throw it to. He's going to call the play. If he wants to get it to Edelman, he's going to call it Edelman play. If he wants to get it to Nikhil, he'll call that. You know, it just seems like that's their best rhythm in offense. Other than that first drive against Cincinnati, everything was no huddle and accelerated turbo type stuff when they would move the ball in offense.
Am I nuts for thinking that Philip Dorsett could actually help them by being out there?
Could. Of course he could. As a 3 and a 4, yes. Not as a 1 and 2.
I know, but why?
Yes.
So why didn't he play? No, well,
they didn't do a lot of empty stuff. Like, they didn't do a lot of 3 wide empty stuff.
There were a number of times throughout that game where it's like, you know what? All we need is somebody who can get open a little bit and catch the ball, and I don't care if he falls down 3 yards past the line of scrimmage.
Strictly,
we'll take it. We'll take those three.
Problem is, strictly, he's an outside guy.
Yeah.
You know, Edelman's a stack guy inside. Nikhil Harry's an outside guy. You can only play so many outside guys. Unless you got a guy that's diverse and can move around the formation. They thought they had that in Sanu. I just think he's dealing with the injury. And until he gets completely healthy, he's not going to give you that burst.
All right, Mabel's on the phone. She wants to talk about the Cowboys. And okay. I want Mabel, I just want you to hold on for a couple of minutes because I want to talk to you and I want to talk to Zoe a little bit more about NFC playoff matchups, ooh, playoff potentialities. Probably not a word. In the NFC, and we'll do that after McCone gives us the hub headlines here, and we continue our broadcast from Foxborough on Zolak and Bertrand.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
How's this one treat you?
I like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good?
Yeah.
I don't
think anything by it. Saint Kelly.
It still doesn't feel like
boy
Christmas.
Boy, band me.
It doesn't feel like Christmas in here. I'm with you on that.
Not in this room.
There's a real Christmas tree right outside the door.
Well, why don't you bring it in here?
Like the, yeah.
Maybe I'll put it somewhere where we could show you where it's in Merry Christmas.
I wasn't talking to you.
Todd. Why don't you go get it, Todd?
I don't know, Marco. Mabel. How about them Cowboys?
Happy holidays, boys.
Hey,
how are you?
What's up, buddy?
Who would have thought that Sunday comes down to the NFC East?
Yeah.
All I want to know is, did you see the game on Sunday, and what Cowboys team was playing on Sunday? I have never seen my Cowboys play like that before. It just totally blew me away. There was fire. There was passion. I don't know what happened.
White dudes up in the box just miss high five each other.
I do not know what the clapper said to them on Sunday. I don't know what the clapper said to them before the game, but I've never seen the Cowboys play like that before. I was sitting there going, "What team is this?"
The question just blew me away. The clapper said nothing because the word defer didn't even come out of the quarterback's mouth. Clapper accidentally sent the quarterback out there, which he shouldn't have done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's the first time in a big game, I'm going to send Dak out. I'm going to show how badass I am as a coach.
Yeah.
All right.
Mabel.
So here's my quick.
Go ahead. You ask your question, and I'll tell you what I'm worried about.
Okay. My first question is, if we do get the NFC East and we beat the Philly on Sunday and we get the title and we go knee deep into the playoffs, does Jason still have a job or does he get fired?
No, I think they're going to make a move at the end of the year regardless, but I think you could be an dangerous team that nobody would want to play. Cowboys are a type of team that could find a way to get in at like 9-7, 8-8, whatever it's going to take.
Yep.
And go out and pop a team like San Francisco.
Yep.
But
you know,
Mabel,
and all of a sudden find themselves getting run out of the gym in a divisional round.
That's what worries me about this game is Jason Garrett. And
I know.
Where's the game?
The game on Sunday is at Philadelphia. Let me ask you guys.
What do you think?
What do you think?
I think you're better than Philly. I do.
Most people are picking the Cowboys
so
in this one.
I'd take
Cowboys. Yeah, the thing is that we're playing at the Eagles. So if we beat them, if we lose to them and then we lose to the Skins the next week, then we're done.
You're done, yeah.
Because, yeah. Right, and they but Philly would have to beat the Eagles. Philly would have to beat the Giants in the last
Mabel,
game.
Mabel, if you don't beat Philly, you don't deserve to get in. Philly's not playing good football right now. Wentz is having not a good stretch here. He holds on to the ball. They turn it over. They're not the same team that they've been on defense.
We,
if you don't beat Philly,
don't
you don't deserve to get in, Mabel.
We don't, but we don't, I don't even think we deserve to get in if we beat Philly. And again, I think if we do beat Philly, that means San Francisco's coming to us. And I think that that's just one and done.
You're going to host a game. You're going to host a wild card game if you win. You know, that's
right.
That's something to fight for and scratch for. You
it
talent.
Is. And the, right, but look, we're playing the, we'd be playing the 49ers, correct?
So what?
Is that
doesn't
correct?
Matter who you play. You're playing at home.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know that.
I'm not betting against Dallas this week.
I'm not betting against, well.
Or maybe I wouldn't bet against them in the first round.
And Mabel, thanks for the
talent.
Mabel, good luck.
And in spite of the head coach.
And thank you for the call. I want Dallas to win. I wouldn't bet them this week. I won't bet Jason Garrett on the road in this spot. I just think there is going to be something. And it's not going to be just a tiny little, you know, Dak.
Yeah.
Prescott slip of the tongue. I think there's going to be an in-game decision that he doesn't make. He's overwhelmed by the moment. I think it's going to be a tight game, and I think I don't want the Eagles to win this game. I'd rather see the Cowboys in it. It's more entertaining. It's, you know, just in terms of what you're going to watch and talk about and think about here for the coming weeks, it's better when the Cowboys are in it. I want them to be in it. I'm worried about this coach who probably knows he's on his way out, Zoe. You just said regardless. I don't think it's happening for him. And it's got to suck as a Cowboys fan knowing that you've got this meddling owner, GM, where how can you meddle in your own team? I don't know, but Jerry Jones proves how to do it. He shows you how to do it week in and week out. He is the GM. He is the man in charge. It's Jerry's world. It's all that stuff. But there's a way of being involved, a way of doing your job, and a way of doing it without getting in the way and being counter to what you're trying to accomplish there. And I just think it's going to be tough for any coach, anyone who comes in there, anything they try and get done because, you know, you've got Yosemite Sam there running the show.
Ooh.
He's a scary guy, man. I tell you what, those radio hosts who got into it with him, Zoe.
You settle down there now.
Okay? Yeah.
You get your druthers. I ain't fly all night. I'm playing no grab ass with you.
We're going to have Knives visit here today.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Are we?
It would be our inclination, anybody talk to us like that, to tell this guy to go screw. Jerry Jones is the guy who can then turn around and
your whole station
and do some old school like way back in the day, bankrupt your brother-in-law's tractor dealership,
you know,
400 miles away.
You know what I just did? I called your boss down the station. I just bought your station, and we're going to play 24/7 repeatedly pig squealing. Okay?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, he's crazy.
He owns like a swath of land going up, you know, north and east of Dallas. There, he could. It is some old school like J.R. Ewing type of.
You see them spoiled kids in the booth too.
Yeah, it's
some grandkids running around long hair.
It's an issue. It's just, you know, for the record, you know,
they never have to work again.
I'm on board. I want it on the record. I'm on board with the robot overlords, and I'm on board with Jerry Jones. I don't want him going after my brother-in-law's tractor dealership. He can and would do it. That's, I firmly believe that. All right, so who do you like? Eagles, Cowboys, though?
I like Cowboys.
Okay.
I'm the Cowboys.
What about in the NFC West?
I like Seattle to win that, which means San Francisco's a road team. That's crazy.
That's crazy,
that
right?
That's crazy.
With the
we gotta look at Seattle's schedule. What's Seattle's schedule the rest of the way? Pull up Seahawks just to see the remaining schedule. Now, that's a team that could screw up. It's
hold
a stupid
on.
Zoe's
instructed me to pull up the Seahawks
schedule. Well, you say, who do you like in the NFC West? I do like Seattle.
They play each other the final week of the season.
Oh, Jesus.
Seattle plays the Cardinals this week.
Cardinals.
San Fran plays the Rams at home. The 49ers are at home against the Rams.
Rams got their ass kicked by
that's
Dallas.
That's Saturday night after
the
Bills.
How do you look at that game? Is you like those little bounce-back weird games, right? Like,
who, Niners-Rams?
Yeah.
The Rams just got eliminated from the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
I think the Niners roll. I think the Rams are done.
Okay.
They've been on a run for 3 years now. They're finally eliminated.
So all
the
Niners
playoffs.
Have to do is win out, and they win the West. Mm. Right? Yeah. Because they would then, if that means they would beat Seattle last game.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that division's coming down last game of the year. That's for the number one and number five seed. That's crazy.
If you slip up against the if you slip up against the Rams this week, though, you could be the sixth seed.
Jesus,
because Minnesota's 10-4; they're right behind you.
Yeah. I also want to ask you, who is the odd team out in the AFC?
Looks to me like Pittsburgh.
See, I think so too.
Because just the quarterback just looks, he looked terrible the other night. Like, they had every chance to win that game.
And not by virtue of them losing to Buffalo, because I think Buffalo is a good team.
They're playing better. Yeah, they had the ball inside the 10. They brought in Connor, who hasn't played in 3 months. They run a stupid wildcat with him. Hodges threw two picks. They fumble the ball. Yeah, I mean, they had chances. Then they got the ball back twice at the end of the game and still had chances to throw it in the end zone. And they still couldn't do it.
You know what? The Rams might not be eliminated. I'll have to double check. They might have the tiebreaker over the Vikings.
Bert said Bert put that tweet out after the game. LA opened a shiny new building next year as both teams eliminated for the playoffs in the prior year. That's not good for that building.
All right, so
Rams and Chargers eliminated.
Okay, I'm putting the call out here. Well, first of all, we'll take calls. 617-779-0985. Got a couple on hold. We'll do those next. But I'm putting the call out. I need some advice. This is, you know, kind of like it's not a home improvement. It's just
Don't buy an oven.
It's a household item.
Don't buy an oven.
But it's an important item.
Okay.
Right? And it's something I've taken seriously over the years.
Oh.
And I need advice as to what my next one should be.
Electric snow shovel.
Nope. Smaller. Has to do with some activity that's been going on out in the yard the last couple of nights. Dogs barking at something.
Dog
I want
crap.
To see what it is. How do you look?
Oh, I got it.
Daddy needs a new flashlight.
Okay.
Can we do some flashlight
yes,
talk?
Yes, we could. Because I've...
Go, that, save it! Because yeah.
I've screwed up over the years. I've got the perfect one.
I'm in the mindset right now where I could listen to flashlight talk for a long time.
Because we've lost power, and I'm an expert on flashlights.
Good, good. Then you're the man to talk to, and any other suggestions flashlight-wise, get them ready and send them our way as we continue here in Foxborough. Zolak and
Sounds
Bertrand,
good.
Hardy and Frabeedle on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy and Frabeedle, we're live in Foxborough. Patriots getting ready for the visiting Buffalo Bills Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
I want to talk to Kevin in Douglas right off the bat here, who's worried about two things. The
Flash
Chiefs
lights?
And
hey, boys.
Bite. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey,
go ahead, Kevin.
Hardy. Yeah. I got you guys. Listen, how far? I went to the last game, the Pats and Chiefs, and maybe Zoe can answer this. How do the Pats defend against Tyreek Hill in the flat? He just seemed like 16, 17 yards. Is that game going to be closer than we think? Are those two teams closer than what we think? And then secondly, Hardy, I'm worried about your ticks.
Thank you.
How's the medication going?
Thank
and
you.
And basically, do you think you got that on a golf course this summer?
No, Kevin, I did not. I'm pretty sure I got it in the woods around my house of Thanksgiving weekend. And, Kevin, I appreciate the thoughts. A lot of people have kind of dismissed me and written me off. But
Did you stop sending us tick pics?
I have not sent any tick pics lately. But I'm feeling okay. There are moments when I'm convinced I have Lyme, and there are other days when I feel just okay. And as I explained to Shabu last night over at Comcast NBC Sports Boston, I said, you know, hoping for the best and preparing for the worst. My hoping for the best is I got a little case of Lyme and I can talk about it and fall back on it.
Yeah.
Like my Lyme's acting up, you know, in my sick mind, that's actually kind of
outcome. It acts up.
It does.
It doesn't go away.
I appreciate checking in. Okay. So speaking of the woods, behind the house, though, and you know, that kind of flat area off the, off my backyard where it goes down, it's, you know, it
where,
goes back.
Where the deers are.
Right. So, last two nights, there's something very loud out in the hallway there. We might have to close that door. The last two nights, the dog, who is not big, right?
Yeah.
She's sitting on the petite side for a lap. She's not even a year old yet. She has gone out in that yard and barked like a 150-pound Mastiff at something in the woods. And all I want to do is go out there on the deck and shine a flashlight. For years, my go-to has been the three-cell mag flashlight. It's heavy. I used to carry it in the car.
Mag light.
I love it. Big mag light, yeah. Right?
Long, long stick hand.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, slap it against your
palm. You beat the hell out of someone if you get in the fight. Right.
And I'm getting ready to go buy replacement batteries for it because the light is, you know, not as bright as it should be. I'm thinking, you know, I haven't really changed my whole flashlight, you know, go-to.
You got to go to the mag light.
20 years.
Yeah. See,
right?
I used to have
it's been 20 years, and this isn't an LED.
No.
You know, this is an old incandescent mag light. I'm ready to take the next step. What do I need?
Connectivity is a problem with the plastic cheap ones. You'll get the, you know, the yellow, typical yellow black one.
Yes.
You never get a flashlight from all my years, my 40 years of buying flashlights, where you have to take the face off, the reflective face, where you take that part off that has a little bulb in there.
Yeah.
And you have to take that off because the whole thing falls apart.
Right.
Right? And then it doesn't really make the connectivity of it, like, perfect. Where,
okay,
that's together. Now, it'll give you a little bit of light, like maybe twice, but that thing won't hold up 4 months from now. So when we lost power, we bought one of these. It's not a big one, but it's like a handheld little box. It's got a little handle on it.
Okay.
You can flip one side up.
Yeah, I've got one.
And it's a soft light.
I've got one.
You flip it down.
Not
and
enough.
It's a LED light. I agree with that. You've got to go. You got to go Maglite again.
Maglite LED.
Right. No. Yeah, you could do that. But if you got problems in your backyard, my neighbor's got one of these from living in the woods. It's the deer light. You could see him. It's a handheld deer light that he plugs into this. You plug it in. I'm sorry, Jim Electrical.
I got to
plug it in, and it's got a long cord.
I have one of those. Yeah.
He's standing. On his port, and it's like
I bet that thing is.
It's
badass.
Like the front of the Titanic. Like I'll see. Like I think we're having UFO issues out in the woods because I'll see the lights go through, and I'm like, oh man, something landed. And I go, oh, it's just Vinny. Next, he's looking for something. We're looking for the dog.
Okay.
And that thing, boom, that thing goes. Like you want to nail whatever's out there, and you'll see it. If you got a burglar or something, that person won't be able to see. You'll blind them.
See,
you want the blinding plug in. You know, it almost looks like a saucer, but it's got a handle on it. You know, it's just right there, right on.
I'm not opposed to it.
And then you could plug it in, go on your deck, and there's the problem.
Maybe that's what I do. Maybe I keep my old standby mag light with the incandescent bulb and just get new batteries for it. But for that purpose, right there off the deck, keep that thing plugged in and just light up the whole
really
place.
You really want to have some fun after a couple drinks a night.
Yeah.
Get your porch furniture, nice nights in summer, and you get hit planes coming by.
I think that's a horrible idea.
You're not. They're not lasers. It's lights.
I'm just saying hi.
SOSI.
We're loaded on flashlight calls.
There we go. Good. We'll get to them next.
Okay. We'll do it. 90 seconds here. A lot of tweets, too.
Good.
That are confusing to me. I mean, if somebody from... Here's what I...
Do you know what's not
here's
crazy,
what I, Ben? Here's what I would love to hear from. You know who I'd love to hear from?
Who?
Somebody at one of these tactical stores that sells the police and SWAT gear.
Bass Pro, over here. Yeah. One of the cops. Remember? Oh, this was Jungle O night. Great story. Jungle O. Remember when Jungle O had the fake cop things?
Yeah, I do.
And he was riding around. The cops pulled him over here and he got written up?
Of course.
Well, one of the cops, after he pulled him over, pulled us over because, like, where are you going? And he saw it was me. Saw Brody in the back when Brody was a little one. And gave him his Maglite. That's the best flashlight I ever had. A cop one.
The cop gave Brody his Maglite?
The cops know.
See?
The cops know. I don't know what it was. That thing was the best flashlight we ever had.
All right. So.
That was Jungle O night.
This could derail us for some time, but it's worth it. 617-779-0985. 90 seconds here. No commercials and then more flashlight talk.
Okay.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.